This week's Parsha is Parshas Hazinu, and we are going to discuss the importance of Parshas Hazinu. The first reference we have in regards to Parshas Hazinu is previously on Parshas Vayelech, where there, after Hashem predicts that the Jewish people are going to commit idolatry and they're going to worship idols, and then it says on verse 18 that Hashem is going to hide His face in that day because we committed idolatry. Then in verse 19 it says, "Ve'ato, and now, kisvu lochem es ashiro azois, write this song, ve'lamdo es b'nei Yisrael, and teach to the Jewish people, sima b'fiem, and place it in their mouth, le'mantia li ashiro azois, that this song should be for me, le'eid b'nei Yisrael, as a witness against the children of Israel." Meaning that after Hashem predicts that we are going to commit all the sins, Hashem says, write this Shira, this song. In that regard, Rashi writes down, what does it mean, write this song? Rashi says, Hazinu Hashamayim, the song is the song from Hazinu, Ad v'chiprat mosayamoy, until the finish of the Shira, which is on chapter 32, verses 1 to 43. As a matter of fact, we could bring a little proof that the interpretation is like Rashi, because the verse continues and says that I'll bring you to the land that I've swore to the forefathers. Then the Jewish people are going to eat and they're going to become sated and they become fat and they will do idolatry and they will make me angry and break my covenant. And then it will be when many bad things will happen to them. Ve'onsa shira azois lefon of leit. Then this song will speak before it as a witness. Again, according to Rashi, this song must be referring to Parshas Hazinu. Ki lo yishokach mipizaroi, that it will not be forgotten from their children. Ki yodati yizitzro yasher yoyse ayoim, because I know their inclination that they do today. Beter mevienu al oretz, asher nishbati, before I bring them to the land that I swore. Basically, Hashem is saying that the song is going to be a testimony that the Jewish people are going to become fat and they're going to have a lot of plenty. Then, because of that plenty, they are going to kick out Hashem, and then Hashem is going to give them troubles. So we should not complain about Hashem giving us troubles. Hashem is really telling in advance what is going to happen. Therefore, write this Shira, so they will see the testimony that this is going to happen. And if you look at the Shira Hazinu, you see that this is exactly what is written in Shira Hazinu, because the first few psukim gives praises of Hashem, then it's telling on pasuk number 13 how Hashem gave us plenty, and then on pasuk number 15 it's written Vayishman Yeshurun Vayivot, that Yeshurun became fat and kicked, Shomanto Aviso Koshiso, you became fat, you became thick, you became corpulent, meaning we had plenty. And what did we do? Vayitosh eloka, also that we kicked out Hashem who made us. So we see clearly that whatever it's predicted here, that this should be the witness to Shira, is what is written in Parshas Hazinu. And then it continues on saying how Hashem is going to kick us out and cause us trouble. So according to Rashi, it fits very well that this Shira that we have to write down is Parshas Hazinu, because exactly what is written here is what Parshas Hazinu is coming to testify. The problem that we have with this Rashi is that seemingly this Rashi goes against the Gemara in Sanhedrin Daf Chof Aleph Amud Beis 21b. There the Gemara is talking about a king, that a king is supposed to write a Sefer Torah for himself. The Gemara asks a question, what do you mean that only a king is supposed to write a Sefer Torah for himself? That is not true. A regular person is also supposed to write a Sefer Torah for himself. Because Rava says, Afal pi she'nichol avoisav la'adam Sefer Torah, that even though a person was left from his father a Sefer Torah, meaning that he inherited a Sefer Torah from his father, nonetheless, mitzvah lichtov mishaloi, he has a mitzvah to write a Sefer Torah from his own money, from his own possessions, shenema, because it's written in the verse that we just discussed, v'ato, and now, kisvo lochem es ashira, write this song. So clearly, when it's written, write this song, it is referring to the mitzvah of writing a Sefer Torah. And the Gemara asks, what do you mean that only a king is supposed to write a Sefer Torah for himself? Every person is required to write a Sefer Torah for himself, because the verse writes down that you have to write this shira, this song. And here the Gemara is interpreting this song as a Sefer Torah. Then we have seemingly a contradiction to Rashi's interpretation what the word shira means. If the word shira means a Sefer Torah, or if the word shira means Parshas Hazinu. We could answer Rashi very easily based on the Rambam. The Rambam in Hilchos Sefer Torah, Perek Zayin, writes down Mitzvah Esel Kolish Yisrael Lichtov Sefer Torah La'atzmoy. There is a mitzvah for every Jew to write a Sefer Torah for himself, Shenemar, because it's written, V'ato Kisvu Lochem as Ashira Azois. Now you should write this song, Kloimar, Kisvu Lochem Torah, write a Torah sheyesh bo shira zu, that has this song. Lefi shein koisim sa Torah parshis parshis, because you're not allowed to write the Sefer Torah parshis parshis, meaning parshis by itself. Meaning that Rambam means to say the following: the requirement of the Torah is to write down parshis azin, as it's written that you should write as a shira azois, this song, and the song that is referring is, like Rashi says, Parshas Hazinu. But you have a technical difficulty. You cannot write just Parshas Hazinu, because it's illegal to write only a Parsha of the Torah. Therefore, you are required to write the whole Torah, because you need to write Parshas Hazinu. So you have no choice, you're required to write a whole Sefer Torah. So when it's written that you should write this Shira, it means that you have to write a Sefer Torah that contains this Shira. And the reason you have to write the Sefer Torah is because, since you can't write Parshas Hazinu by itself, because we're not allowed to write a Parsha, therefore it leaves you no choice and you're required to write the whole Sefer Torah. The Shagas Aryeh asks a question on this Rambam, that the Rambam himself writes down that it is okay to write a Chumash by itself, meaning you could write the book of Bereishis, Shmos, Vayikra, Bamidbar, Devarim by itself. Then why do you say that you have to write the whole Sefer Torah because of Parshas Hazinu? Why don't you write just the book of Devarim because of Parshas Hazinu, since you are allowed to write a Chumash, one of the five books, by itself? The Shagas Aryeh answers that the Rambam himself writes down in Halacha Yudalet that even though you are allowed to write a Chumash by itself, nonetheless, it does not acquire a Kedusha Sefer Torah, a holiness of a Sefer Torah. It only acquires a Kedusha Sefer Torah if you write the whole Torah by itself. Therefore, according to the Rambam, there is no choice, since you have to write Parshas Hazinu, because the Torah tells you to write this song, and then this becomes a Sefer Torah. Therefore, you have no choice, you have to write all the five books because of Parshas Hazinu. So we see from this Rambam, and also from Rashi, how important Parshas Hazinu becomes, because the whole Torah is only written because you're required to write Parshas Hazinu. So we see the importance of Parshas Hazinu. The Torah Temima explains that the Rambam has to mean something differently, because if the Rambam means to say that you have a mitzvah to write Parshas Hazinu, as it's written that you should write the Shira, but since technically you can't write only a Parsha, then you have to write the Sefer Torah, that is not necessarily true. Because we do find that when we have a mitzvah to write something particular, we could write something particular, and we are not required to write the whole Torah. For example, we have the Parsha of Krishma that we write in the Mezuzah. The Mezuzah, we have to write the portions of the Shema and Vohayim Shemoa, and we write it only those two portions, and we do not say that you're required to write the whole Torah and put it in your doorpost, because you cannot write only one Parsha. When we have a mitzvah that is designed only for one Parsha, then we have no problem writing one Parsha. As we have the mitzvah of Tefillin, where we put four Parshas together from different places, and there we don't say that you have to write the whole Torah because you have to write that portion. Because once the Torah tells you that you should write this Parsha, we are required to write that Parsha. Then the Torah Tmima asks if this is so. Here the Torah tells you to write down Es Hashiro Azois, and it means Parshas Hazinu. Theoretically, you should be able to write Parshas Hazinu by itself. Why does the Rambam say that you have to write the whole Torah? Because you can't write Parshas Hazinu, when clearly, when we are required to write a single Parsha, we could write a single Parsha. Then we should be able to write Parshas Hazinu by itself. The Torah Tumima gives a very interesting answer. The Torah Tumima says that according to the Man de Omar, which is in fact Rabbi Yochanan in the Gemara in Gittin, Daf Samach Omad Aleph 60a, where there the Gemara there analyzes the verse that's written on Dvarim chapter 31, verse 26 in Parshas Vayelech, where it says, Lo koyach es sefer haTorah hazeh, take this sefer Torah, v'samtem oiso mitzad aron bris Hashem, and put it next to the Ark of Covenant of Hashem, Elokeichem, v'yu shom b'cho le'et, and it will be there for you as testimony. The Gemara there asks, according to Rabbi Yochanan, that says that Torah Megillah Nitna, that the Torah was given a parchment at a time, meaning that Moshe Rabbeinu throughout the 4 years was writing portions of the Torah, and it was not written at one time altogether. And the Gemara asks, it says clearly, take this Sefer Torah, which seems to be only one. The Gemara answers, Ahu lebasar de idbek, that is after it was connected, meaning Moshe Rabbeinu originally wrote portions and portions of the Sefer Torah, but afterwards he tied them together, he sewed them together, so they became one. So therefore it's written, take this Sefer Torah. According to this, the Torah Tumim wants to say that since it's written here, Ve'ato and now kisvu lochem es haTorah hazois simo befiem, that now you should write this Torah and put it in their mouth. And the question is, why is it written the word Ve'ato and now? The Torah Tumim says that it means that Hashem is telling Moshe Rabbeinu that since now you are going to die, there is one extra parsha that I want you to write in order to complete all the Torah. And that is this parsha of Hazinu. So true that Kisvu Lochem Es Hashiro, write this song, it's referring to Shiras Hazinu, but it is said as part of the rest of the Torah, that since you are going to die now, I need you to write Parshas Hazinu, and that will complete the Torah, then you'll be able to teach the Torah to the Jewish people. And the Torah Tumim continues and says that this must be the reason why the Rambam understood that you have to write the whole Torah because of Parshas Hazinu. The only problem that I find with this answer from the Torah Tumim is that in actuality, Parshas Hazinu is not the last part of the Torah. Because after the Shira of Hazinu, we have the Parsha of Ezois HaBracha, where Moshe Rabbeinu gives the blessings to the Jewish people. And if I say that Hashem told Moshe Rabbeinu, I want you to write Parshas Hazinu, and with that you will complete the Torah, and then you'll be able to teach the Jewish people, then what right does Moshe Rabbeinu have to add Parshas Ezois HaBracha to the Torah? Theoretically, then Parshas Ezois HaBracha would not be part of the Torah, because Hashem clearly says that I want you to write this Shira, and after you write this Shira, I want you to teach to the Jewish people, which according to the Torah Tamime means that the Torah is finished. And if you say that it not necessarily means that the Torah is finished, then why is Hashem telling Moshe Rabbeinu to write this Shira, Parshas Hazinu, when he didn't tell Moshe Rabbeinu to write the other portions of the Torah? What's so special about the Parshas of Hazinu that Hashem has to tell Moshe Rabbeinu to write this Parsha of Hazinu down, and with that will be part of the Torah, where the other Parshas in the Torah, it does not say that it'll be part of the Torah? Then what's so special about Parshas Hazinu? We could answer the question of the Torah Tumima on the Rambam based on the Gemara in Nedarim Daf Lamed Ches Omed Alef 38a. There the Gemara brings down Omar Rabbi Yosi Berab Chanina, Lornit ne Torah ele Moshe ulezare. The Torah was only given to Moshe Rabbeinu and to his children, Shenema, because it's written in Shemos chapter 34, verse number 27, Ksav lecho, write to you. And previously on Shemos chapter 34, verse number 1, it's written, Psa lecho, chisel out to you. In the same way, that Sol Lecha belonged to Moshe Rabbeinu, meaning that the fragments of sapphire that was chiseled out in order to make the tablets belonged to Moshe Rabbeinu, so too, when it's written, Ksav Lecha, write to you this Torah, the Torah belongs to Moshe Rabbeinu. Then Rabbi Yossi Bar Chanina continues and says, Moshe, Noag Bar Tova Sayin, Moshe acted generously, Unesono Le Yisrael, and gave the Torah to the Jewish people. And he says that this is the meaning of the verse, in Mishle chapter 22, verse number 9, Toiv Ayin Hu Yevoirach, that a person who has a good eye should be blessed, Ki Nosan Milach Moel Adol, because he gave from his bread to the poor. We know that the Torah is considered as bread, and the Jewish people did not have Torah. So Moshe Rabbeinu, with a toiv ayin, with a good eye, should be blessed, because he gave from his Torah to the Jewish people. The Gemara poses many challenges to this idea, and on the third challenge, the Gemara brings what is written in our verse. Our verse says, V'ato and now, kisvu lachem es ashiru azois, write for them this song and teach it to the children of Israel, put it in their mouth, which clearly tells you that this Shira should be taught to the Jewish people. The Gemara answers, Ashira Lechuda, Hashem tells you to write this Shira, and this Shira alone you should teach to the Jewish people. But the rest of the Torah was given by Hashem only to Moshe Rabbeinu, and Moshe Rabbeinu gave it graciously to the Jewish people. Then the Gemara asks another challenge and says, but it's written that the whole reason to write this Shira is Lamantia li Ashiro Azois, that this song should be Le'et Levnei Israel as a testimony for the Jewish people, which means that in the eventuality that bad things will happen to the Jewish people, then Hashem will have this Shira, this song, to testify that this happened because you didn't behave properly, because the song says that if you don't behave properly, then bad things will happen to you. But the Rosh and the Ran explain that if that is so, then it's apparently understood that it must have another document, another commitment that will define our responsibilities and our covenant with Hashem, because the song only describes that if we do not keep this covenant, then Hashem will punish us. But it does not say what the covenant entails. Then automatically there must be another document, which is the whole Torah, which details what that covenant is. The Gemara answers that in truth you are right, that I must say that the Jewish people received the whole Torah, not only Moshe Rabbeinu. But what did Rabbi Yossi Bar Chanina mean to say that Moshe Rabbeinu received and he gave to the Jewish people? It means Pilpula Ba'alma, the methodology how we get to where we get, meaning how we get to certain laws and what is behind the laws, that was explained to Moshe Rabbeinu, and Moshe Rabbeinu taught the Jewish people the methodology how we get to that point. And in regards to this part, Moshe Rabbeinu is considered to be generous. But the Torah itself was given to the whole Jewish people. Then according to this, we see that there is no specific mitzvah to write Parshas Haazinu, because theoretically Parshas Haazinu cannot stand by itself, because Parshas Haazinu is a testimony that Hashem is pre-warning the Jewish people to let them know what is going to happen when they break the covenant. That means that besides Parshas Haazinu, you have to write a covenant, agreement between the Jewish people and Hashem, as the Rosh and Ran explained. And since you have to write a covenant, then we don't have a mitzvah to write just the Shira of Haazinu, like we have a mitzvah to write mezuzah or write the parshas of the tefillin. And once you realize that you don't have an exclusive mitzvah to write Parshas Haazinu, that means that you have to write Parshas Haazinu with something. Therefore, the Rambam says that you have to write Parshas Haazinu, and because of Parshas Haazinu, you require to write the whole Torah, because that is the covenant that the Jewish people have. We mentioned previously from the Torah Tamima that the Torah Tamima tries to interpret that this Parshas Haazinu should be the last parsha of the Torah, because it's written the word Ve'ato and now, which it means to say, and now that you are going to die, you write this Shira, and like that you will complete the Torah. The Rachaim HaKodesh is also bothered by the language Ve'ato, and now write this Shira. Why does Hashem have to tell Moshe Rabbeinu to write this Shira now? Clearly we know that Moshe Rabbeinu would not delay. Specifically, we learned that from the war against Midian, where Hashem told Moshe Rabbeinu that his death is going to be dependent on the war against Midian, and Moshe Rabbeinu did not delay and send the people right away to fight against Midian, then why does Hashem need to tell Moshe Rabbeinu Ve'ato and now, which the Rachaim understands, write it now? The Rachaim explains that Hashem wanted that Moshe Rabbeinu should write this Shira and teach the Jewish people before Yeshua comes and he has to command Yeshua on this covenant. Because Hashem wanted to make sure that this is a Shira that Moshe Rabbeinu is giving to the Jewish people and teaching them before Yeshua comes. And the whole idea of Ato, says the Rachaim HaKodesh, is Shloi Le'akev Ad Sheyetzavez Yeshua, that you should not wait until Yeshua comes. Meaning that Hashem wanted that this Shira should be given by Moshe Rabbeinu. But the Rachaim doesn't explain why Hashem wanted this Shira to be given by Moshe Rabbeinu. What's so special about this Shira? The Admir Me'ozrov notes that this verse, Ve'ato Kisfu Lochem Zashira, is coming right after the verse that says that Anoichi Haster Aster Pone Bayomau, that I am going to hide my face in that time, which means that after the Jewish people are having Ktzoras, it's telling you Ve'ato and now write this Shira. So he explains that Ve'ato now is something an eternal, that all the generations, even though it's going to be Hester Panim and Hashem is going to hide his face, nonetheless you have the mitzvah of writing this Shira and learning this Shira, which means that we have the mitzvah to write the Torah and learn the Torah no matter what preconditions and what circumstances are happening. Therefore, specifically, after it's written, Vanoichi Haster Aster Esponai, that I will surely hide my face from them, and they will have troubles, so they shouldn't think that since they have troubles, they are exempt from writing the Torah and learning the Torah. Therefore, right then it says, Ve'ato Kisvu Lochem Es Hashira Hazois. Now you have to write this song and you have to teach it to the Jewish people, because they have the responsibility and the duty and the obligation to learn Torah in all times, good or bad. It is brought in Sefer Aderes Eliyahu from the Vilna Gaon that in Parshas Hazinu there are 613 words, which are equivalent to Taryag Mitzvos, to the 613 mitzvahs. According to this, we could say that when it says that we should write this Shira and it wants to know what the covenant is alluded by the amount of words in Parshas Hazinu, which are 613. And this fits with the Ramban, which the Ramban brings down in Seder HaDoros, that he says that in Parshas Hazinu is included all the mitzvahs of the Torah, and therefore could be that when it says to write Parshas Hazinu, to write this Parsha, which means to write this Parsha, which includes the whole Torah, which automatically you have to write the whole Torah. Since we brought the Sefer HaDoros, it's important to tell the story that is brought in Sefer HaDoros in regards to the Ramban and the student that he had, Avner. He brings the story that Avner was a student of the Rambam, and he became a heretic. And so happens that he became very powerful in town, and he was in control of the whole land. And after many days, when it came Yom Kippur, he decided that he's going to call the Ramban to him. And in front of the Ramban, he takes a pig, and he cuts it into pieces. He cooks it and eats it on Yom Kippur. After he did all this, the Ramban asked him, what brought you to become a heretic? You were one of my finest students. Why did you become a heretic? And this Avner answered to the Ramban that one time he heard a shir from the Ramban that in Parshas Hazinu is included all the mitzvahs in the Torah and also everybody's name and everything that's going to happen to every single person in the world. And since this Avner did not believe the Ramban and he thought by looking at Parshas Hazinu, how can a small parsha like that contain everything that is going to happen in the world and everything that happened and everybody's name and everybody that's around. Therefore, he decided that the teachings of the Ramban are incorrect, that the whole Torah is not true, and that brought him to become a heretic and not believe in anything. The Ramban says that what you heard is right. I still say that included in this Parsha of Hazinu is everything that ever happened and everything that will happen until the end of the world. And also everybody's name is included in Parsha Hazinu. Then Avner asked the Ramban, if that is so, why don't you show me where my name is in this Parsha? Meaning my name is Avner, where is written Avner in this Parsha? So the Sefer HaDois brings down that the Ramban prayed a little bit, and after he finished his prayer, it came up with the Pasuk, which is on chapter 32, verse number 26. The verse says, Omarti afeyem, I said I will scatter them, Ashbisa me'enoy zichram, I will cause their memory to cease from men. So if you take a look at every third letter from the second word until the end of the Pasuk, then you'll find that the letters make the name Avner in order. Because Avayhem is Aleph, Fei, Aleph, Yud, Hei, Mem. So the third letter is Aleph, which is the Aleph from Avner. Ashbisa, which is Aleph, Shin, Beis, Yud, Sof, Hei. The third letter is Beis, which is Av. Then Me'enoish, which is Mem, Aleph, Nun, Vav, Shin, which the third letter is Nun, which makes Avner. And Zichram, Zayin, Chof, Reish, Mem, which the third letter is a Reish, which makes the word Avner. So the Ramban showed Avner that his name is alluded in the Parsha. This Avner, realizing that his name is alluded in the Parsha and he was wrong, asked the Ramban, how do I do tshuva? How do I repent? The Ramban said that if you take a look where your name is in the Pasuk, then you realize how you should repent. Meaning that since the Pasuk writes down that I will scatter them and I'll make men forget their memories, so that is what you have to do in order to be able to do tshuva on this sin. So the Sefer HaDois says that Avner did that, he boarded a ship, and nobody ever heard from him because he did what's written in this Pasuk. It's interesting to conclude that in Sefer Yemei Melech, Chelek Aleph, Amud 131, from the Lubavitch Rebbe Zatzal, he brings down that if you take a look, the first word of the Pasuk is Omarti. Omarti, the third letter, is a Reish, which makes it, in truth, Rab Avner. Not Avner, but Rab Avner. And according to this, we could see that since this person was destined to do a Tshuva Shleim, a complete repentance, Hashem already wrote in the Torah, Rab Avner, because he was going to repent properly. In the same way that the Gemara in Avodah Zarah Daf Yud Zayin on Medalev 17a describes the story of Rabbi Elazar ben Urdaya, where a prostitute challenged him that he is never going to repent, and he repented full-heartedly, and he died for his repentance. And then the Gemara brings down that a heavenly voice came out that said, Rabbi Elazar ben Urdaya is going to get a world to come. And on that, Rabbi cried and said that there is a person that gets his world to come in one moment. And then Rabbi continues and says that Loidayon about tshuva shemekablin oison, not enough for about tshuva, for somebody who is repentant, that Hashem accepts his repentance. Elo shekoyin oison Rabbi, they call him Rabbi. They call him Rabbi Elazar ben Urdaya because of his tshuva. So here too, they call him Rab Avner, because this Avner eventually is going to do tshuva completely, is going to repent wholeheartedly, and is going to be accepted, and is going to... As we mentioned previously, one of the reasons that Hashem told us to write Parshas Hazinu is what is written on chapter 31, verse number 21. Vayokis in Sena Oiso Erois Rabbeis Vetzores, it will be when many evils and distresses will come upon it upon the Jewish people, then va'also ashira zois lefonav leit. Then this shira, this song, will speak up before it as a witness, meaning that this shira will be a witness that I pre-warned the Jewish people not to leave the covenant. But the Malbim notes that before that, it's written another reason, that before that, on verse number 19, it's written, Va'ato kisvo lachem sashira azois, write this shira, which means azino v'lamdas bnei Yisrael sim b'fiyem, and teach the Jewish people and put in their mouth, l'man tieli ashiro azois l'eid b'nei Yisrael, that this should be for me as a witness on the Jewish people. And the Malbum is bothered, why does Hashem need to have Parshas Hazinu as a witness? Hashem knows everything, then why does he need to have Parshas Hazinu as a witness? The Malbum answers with an example. He says the example is of a king who had a servant who was in jail for being a thief, and after the servant leaves jail, this king puts this servant as a guard on his treasury. But since the king knows that he was a thief in advance, therefore the king decided to write in a piece of paper that this servant is a thief. And he placed this piece of paper in a public place for everybody to see. So everybody who saw this piece of paper thought that the reason why the king wrote this piece of paper is that in case this servant will steal again, then he'll be punished harshly and be punished doubly. Because since he's a repeat offender, he already did this wrong and he was pre-warned, therefore he is going to be punished very harshly. That is the reason why the piece of paper was there. But in truth, the reason why the piece of paper was there was the exact opposite. Because the king wanted to be reminded that in case this servant steals again, that we should not blame this servant for stealing as much, because since this servant has an inclination to steal, then it is the king's fault that he appointed this servant as his treasurer. He should have made sure to have a job where he couldn't steal. But the fact that he put him there as a treasurer, knowing that this person was a thief, that is the king's fault. Therefore, when this person will steal, he won't be punished as harshly, because the king has the message written down that he knew that he was a thief, and he still appointed them for the treasury. Therefore, the Malbum says that this is exactly why Hashem put Parshas Hazinu as a witness for him. Meaning that since Hashem knows our inclination, Hashem knows that we are sinners, and yet Hashem still gave us the Torah and decided that we should be the one to do the treasury, so Parshas Hazinu is a testimony that Hashem knows that we are going to do wrong, and even though Hashem knows that we are going to do wrong, He still entrusts us with the Torah. So therefore, when we actually do something wrong, Hashem has this Parshas Hazinu as a testimony that He knew in advance, and therefore He won't punish us as harshly, because He knew in advance who we are, and He still was able to take the risk. Therefore, we don't deserve such harsh punishment. Comes out the following, that Hashem says that Parshas Hazinu is going to be for us as a witness, which means that Parshas Hazinu is going to be our warning that if we don't behave properly and we break the covenant, that we are going to be punished very harshly, as it's written in Parshas Hazinu, as it's pre-warned. But also, Parshas Hazinu serves as a witness to Hashem that Hashem already knew that we are going to mess up, that we are going to leave the covenant, that we are going to do something wrong. Therefore, this witness shows to Hashem that He already knew that this is going to happen. Therefore, it's not unexpected and it's not so treacherous. Therefore, when Hashem comes to pass judgment on us for being treacherous, Hashem will remember that He already knew that, and therefore He won't punish such harsh judgment on us, because Hashem knows our inclination, and our inclination is to sin. And according to this Malbum, we could understand why specifically Parshas Hazinu is always the week before Yom Kippur or the week after Yom Kippur, because since Parshas Hazinu is a witness to Hashem that Hashem already knew our behavior, that Hashem already knew that we are going to do something wrong, therefore, when we actually stand in front of Hashem in judgment for doing something wrong, then Parshas Hazinu becomes a witness to Hashem that He already knew that this is going to happen. Therefore, Hashem is going to give us a better sentence, won't treat us so harshly, because since He knew that's going to happen, then it wasn't unexpected and it wasn't as treacherous. The question that Mefarshim ask is that According to most Mefarshim, when it's written to write this Shira, it's referring to Shiras Hazinu, the Parsha of Hazinu. And the question is, how can we call what is written in Hazinu a Shira, a song? We know that the Parsha Hazinu is full of rebuke to the Jewish people and Divrei Musar and words chastising the Jewish people. Then how can we call that Shira a song? The Mincha Belula wants to say that the word Shira does not mean a song, that the word Shira comes from the word what is written in Bamidbar chapter 24, verse number 17, where there it says, Erenu veloyato, I will see it and not now. Ashurenu, I will look at it, veloy koroiv, and it is not near. But the Targum Unculus translates, Ashurenu sechisei, which means I will gaze at it. But we know from what is written in Parshas Noach, chapter 11, verse number 30, where the verse says that Sarah was called Yiska, and the Gemara in Megillah Daf Yudalad Amud Aleph 14a brings the interpretation that she is called Yiska because she soicha beruach hakodesh, that she gazes in prophecy. So we see that the language Ashurenu means gazing in prophecy. Therefore, the Mincha Berula says that since the Ramban brings down that in Parshas Hazinu is included all that happened and all that it will happen to the Jewish people until the end of days, therefore it's called Shira, but not from the language sung, but from the language gazing, which means gazing prophetically. But in truth, the Ramban himself says it differently. The Ramban writes down in chapter 31, verse number 19, that Parshas Hazinu is called Shira, a song, because Yisrael Yomru Tamid B'Shiru V'Zimra, because the Jewish people are always going to say Parshas Hazinu with singing and a hymn. And the Ramban continues and says that therefore Parshas Hazinu is written in a different way as the rest of the Torah because it is a song, meaning that the rest of the Torah is written in a straight line with every space filled, but Parshas Hazinu is written like two blocks of words with empty space between to show that it's a song and it's not like the regular Torah. So we see clearly that the Ramban held that Hazinu is a Shira and Zimra, a song and a hymn. That means that it's actually a song. Mefarshim explain that what Ramban says, that we always are going to sing this Parsha, it's referring to what's written in the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah Daf Lamed Aleph Amud Aleph 31a, where there the Gemara is discussing the songs that the Levites sang when the Jewish people brought offerings. And the Gemara there describes the song that they sang every day during the offering. Then the Gemara asks, what is the song that they sang on the Musaf of Shabbat? Meaning on Shabbat we bring an additional offering, Musaf, what did they sing? And the Gemara brings down that they sang Haziv Lach, which according to Rashi is the initials of the words. The Hey from Haziv is Hazinu. The Zayin is what is written in verse number 7, Zechor Yomois Olam. Then the Yud is the what's written in verse number 13, Yarkiveyu Abomose Oretz. Then the Vav, it was written, Vayar Hashem Vayinatz in verse 19. Then the Lamed is what's written in verse number 29, Lu Chochma Yaskilu. And the Chav is what's written in verse number 40, Ki Eso El Shomaim Yodi. So that initials of the verses make Haziv Lach. So according to Rashi, they used to read a portion of Hazinu every Shabbat, and they used to finish Hazinu once in 6 weeks. But nonetheless, all the Mefarshim agree that they read some portions of Parshas Hazinu, and some say that they read the whole Hazinu. But the question still remains, why did they pick specifically Parshas Hazinu to sing by the Musaf of Shabbat? Couldn't they find some other Parsha to sing? Why did they pick specifically Parshas Hazinu to sing on the Musaf of Shabbat? Specifically, when we see clearly that Parshas Hazinu is not a song, it's something sad, that something bad is going to happen to us, then why do we sing it? Also, it's important to note that the Rambam in Perek Zayin of Hilchos Tefillah, Halacha Yud Gimel, brings down Sheyesh Mekoymois, that there are places Shekorim Bechol Yom Parshas Hazinu. that they read Parshas Hazinu every day. And they want to say that the Ramban concurs to it, because the Ramban says that this song will be sang tamid, always, which implies that it's going to be sang every day. So we definitely now have to understand why we sing Parshas Hazinu, when Hazinu seems to be some words of rebuke and words. I wanted to say that we could learn from Parshas Hazinu, and from there we may have gotten the minhag that even though we are singing what seemingly is sad words which shouldn't be sung, nonetheless we sing them. Because we sing on Rosh Hashanah, Oshamnu Bogadnu, we say, ay, 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 Oshamnu Bogadnu, which seems completely inappropriate to proclaim that we have sinned against you, Hashem, and we have been treacherous against you. But nonetheless, we sing them. And the Sfardim sing on Slichot, they sing, Chatanu Lefanecha, that we sinned in front of you, and seemingly it's improper to sing those words. But since we see that Parshas Hazinu is called a song, even though the words there doesn't seem to be happy words, so therefore we take the idea from Parshas Hazinu and we sing those words. As a simple answer, I wanted to say that since in regards to Parshas Hazinu it's written Ve'ato, and now Kisfu Lochem es Ashiro Azois, write to you this song, and we mentioned the question, why is it written Ve'ato and now? But the Medrash Rabbe, in Bereshis Rabbe, Parsha Chof Aleph Simen Vov, writes down, Ein Ve'ato El Loshen Tshuva, that every time it says, and now, it's a language of repentance. That means that Parshas Hazinu is going to bring a person to repent. That could be the reason why we sing this Parsha. In the same way that when we say Oshamnu, Bogadnu, or the Sfardim say Chatanu Lefonecha, we sinned in front of you, that brings the person to repent. And once it brings the person to repent, that itself becomes a song, because you become happy that you were able to get to repentance. So therefore we sing Parshas Hazinu, because Parshas Hazinu brings the person to repentance. And specifically on the Musaf of Shabbat, where that is a time of repentance, because Shabbat is a time of repentance, therefore the rabbis established that they should sing Parshas Hazinu. And since you are supposed to repent every day, that could be the reason why the Rambam says there are certain communities who sing Parshas Hazinu every day. The Belzer Rebbe wants to explain this based on the Gemara in Menachas Daf Kuf Yud Omet Aleph 110a. There the Gemara says, Omar Ravitzchak, Ravitzchak asks, Mai dichsif, what is the meaning of the verse? Zois Toiras Achatos, this is the law of the sin offering. Zois Toiras Hashem, this is the law of the guilt offering. So he explains that Kala Oisik Betoiras Achatos, that anybody who is involved in reading the laws and studying the laws of the Chatos, then Hashem views it Kilu Ikriv Chatos, like he had brought a sin offering. V'chala Oisik Betoiras Hashem, anybody who is involved in the laws of the guilt offering, then Hashem views it Kilu Hikriv Hashem, as you'd have brought a Hashem, as you'd have brought a guilt offering. Therefore, the Belzer Rebbe says that since Hashem views when you learn something as you'd have done it, therefore Hashem wants you to read Parshas Hazinu every day, and by you reading Parshas Hazinu every day, you will realize that these things that you read may have come to you. Hashem views as the tzuras, as the troubles that will come upon you for you not following the words of Hashem already came to you. Automatically you will be forgiven your sins, because since we say that whoever reads the laws of the guilt offering and of the sin offering, it's viewed as they have actually brought the sin offering. So too, if you read about the troubles that's going to happen to you when you are not going to follow the words of Torah, then automatically that will be viewed as it actually happened to you. Automatically you'll be forgiven from your sins, because those troubles already came to you. Therefore he says that's why it's called Shira Song, because we view it as it actually happened to you, and since you are forgiven for your sins, then it's definitely a song. Rabbi Yechiel Boim Shlita adds to that, that in chapter 31, verse 21, there the verse says, V'hoyo kisimtsenu oisoi, rois rabbis v'tzores, it will be when many evils and distresses will come upon you, V'anso ashira zois lefanav, then this song should speak up before it as a witness. And he asks, we know that it's written in Bereishis Rabbe, Parsha Membeis, Simen Gimel, that Ein V'hoyo Elo Loshon Simcha, that wherever is written the word V'hoyo, it's a language of happiness, then what Simcha is here? Therefore he says that V'hoyo it will be a Simcha, Kisimtzeno Oisoi, Rois Rabois, and when you find these distresses, V'onso Ashira Zois Lefonov, and you read this Shira in front of it, meaning that by you reading this Shira, automatically you won't get these tzaras, these troubles. Therefore, these troubles will be for you a message of Simcha, because since you are going to read this Shira, and by you reading this Shira, it's tantamount as it came to you, then all these tzaras are going to be for you a Simcha, because that will help you atone your sin, because it's viewed as you have been punished already, therefore your sins are atoned. And that could be the reason why we read specifically Parshas Hazino before Yom Kippur or after Yom Kippur, because by us reading these troubles, it's viewed as it already came upon us, then Hashem could sign us for a good year. And I want to wish everybody a Gmar Chasima Toive. We should all have a healthy new year, a year of prosperity, a year of Achdus, and a year of growth in Torah. And we should marry to see Moshiach, the Beis HaMikdash rebuilt, b'mehera b'yomeinu, Amen.